Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call. I want to wish you a very happy new year. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Alan Harrop.
Now, where are we going?
We're going to talk about isms.
My favorite thing to do, start the program with something odd. This is an old Ann Landers column, and somebody had written into her and said, you had run this before, would you run it again? And it was an explanation of isms. So using two cows as an example. So socialism, you have two cows, give one cow to your neighbor. Communism, you have two cows, give both cows to the government, and they may give you some milk. Fascism, you have two cows, you give all the milk to the government, and the government sells it. Nazism, you have two cows, the government shoots you and takes both cows. Anarchism, you have two cows, keep both cows, shoot the government agent and steal another cow. Capitalism, you have two cows, sell one, buy a bull.
And there's only one of those things that will actually prosper you.
That's right.
It shows you the advantage of capitalism right there.
Now, Alan, you had
yes,
something.
Yes, thanks, Mary. First of all, I'd like to wish all our listeners a happy new year. It's going to be a real challenge for all of us. We're all faced with not only our personal issues, but we have to save the country. That's what I believe. So anyway, happy new year to everybody. What I wanted to bring up is this topic that is an ongoing festering problem that's just getting worse, and that is the invasion of our southern border. In fact, today, there were 60 Republican representatives, I think they were just from the House of Representatives, that went down there with the new Speaker, Mike Johnson. And they went down to observe firsthand the issues that were going on down there. Of course, everybody knows what the problem is. The latest report was December had over 320,000 illegals cross the border. But interestingly enough, the Biden administration, when they found out that the 60 Republican representatives were going to the border, this was the border crossing in Texas, they intentionally diverted most of those immigrants, those illegals, to an entrance point in Arizona so that the Republicans, when they were covered by the press, would not have the photo ops that they normally would have had they not diverted them. Typical Democratic lying to the population, lying to the people, what's going on, trying to cover up their malfeasance. So that's just an issue that it's just an ongoing thing, and I hope that the Republicans in the House will do something about it. It's time to stop telling us how bad the problem is. We know how bad it is. Well, I want to see some action taken to stop it.
You know, it's interesting that the mayor of New York has decided that he will not accept busloads of folks from Texas. So he has required them to, if they're coming in with busloads of illegals, that they can only come in on weekdays, not weekends.
9 to 5.
And they have to give notice.
9 to 5. And they have to give 32 hours worth of notice. So what has happened instead is that the buses arrive at the Newark train station, and they've got a ticket into New York City from that train station. So, folks, this sanctuary city just continues to roll on.
Well, I have a couple of articles about the border. The Democrat mayor of Edison, New Jersey, which follows on what you just said, they're dropping off these aliens in the towns around New York, and then they go into New York, right? Well, this guy, Sam Yoshi, the mayor in Edison, New Jersey, says, we don't know these individuals. They can't be identified. They're a major security risk and a health risk, and we're just not going to tolerate that. Well, this is a Democrat.
It's interesting. Edison is right next to Island, and Island is the fast rail into New York City.
By the way, full disclosure, we were married in Edison, New Jersey.
We were married in Edison, New Jersey. It's a very
familiar... I wonder what that look on your face was.
It's a very familiar town. And as I said, it's right next to the metro station in Island, which is a direct train, no stops, to New York City.
Well, his fellow Democrat, Mayor Steve Fulop of Jersey City, criticized him because he said his family had come after the Holocaust. Because his family had been murdered, you know, and the remaining members had come for safety, and that he shouldn't criticize these illegals without, of course, recognizing that those are totally different circumstances.
Pat, in order to go along with what you're saying, so these military age men come. And they're trained, and they've got addresses that they have to go to. They happen to be essentially, what are they running from, or more specific, what are they running to?
And what is happening at the addresses that they're given where they're gathering? That's a little scary to me. And I want to point out that Karine Jean-Pierre is saying that taking illegals to sanctuary cities is shameful. Well, wait a minute.
You ask for them.
If it's a sanctuary city, isn't that the logical thing to do? And she's complaining that the Republicans have caused this problem and that the governor of Texas has caused this problem because he's shipping the illegal, what part of illegal don't you understand, aliens to the sanctuary cities.
Chicago mayor says that's raggedy. That's his thing for
raggedy.
Whatever's got. Yeah. Biden administration is fast-tracking Chinese illegal aliens.
I know. That's a little scary, too. Follow the money on that one.
Well, I think that we're all getting to this issue about asylum. This is what's being abused. The original asylum law required that an individual demonstrate that they are being persecuted in their home country. And they were supposed to stay in their home country and apply for asylum there. When Trump was in office, what he did was he said, well, if you go to another country, we will not take you. You have to stay in that country because, obviously, you're no longer being persecuted if you're in a neutral country. So that's what he put on.
Well, the UN says, I believe the UN law says that you have to apply for asylum in the first country you set foot in.
That's right.
And there are a lot of people that the U.S. is not the first country they're setting foot in.
We're not the first country you get to when you leave China? Shocker.
Or Africa. But the scary part of this, and I hate to say this, but I believe it's true, how many of these people are going to be voting in this year's election? Not legally.
Well, Biden's newest thing is to give them ID cards.
Yeah. How many of them are going to be voting?
Well, you know, it's a real issue for this. You're about this ID stuff. You know, some states will give them driver's licenses and so on. That's something a state could stop.
North Carolina is one of them.
Could prevent that, and that's what needs to be done. But this asylum, according to the data I looked at, only 14% of the people who actually get to a court hearing become qualified under the asylum law.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 86% of those people who are disqualified. And yet, right now, the Biden administration is telling these illegals, come in and apply for asylum. And that's what they do. They're given the strategy. Once they do that, they're admitted. They're no longer categorically illegal because they've been admitted under the asylum statute. And so, right now they're estimated to be 9-10 years given the volume before they even get to a hearing. And so the whole thing is just a mechanism for allowing this invasion.
The scary part to me, again, you have the majority of these people are military age males. So you have them coming into the country. Many of them don't speak the language. How are they going to find jobs? When they don't find jobs, who's going to support them? When they don't have the money to have the lifestyle that they thought they were promised when they get here, how angry are they going to be? And what happens next?
But Mary, I'm going to interrupt that you don't have the money, because I believe the Biden administration also said banks cannot refuse them loans because they don't have IDs, permanent addresses, or whatever else.
Well, Mary, you're assuming they're going to work at real jobs. What they do is work under the table. So that money's not taxed. They have plenty of money. You see Hispanic illegal aliens driving these fancy trucks because they'll run a house and put 20 people in there.
Yeah.
So they're all paying $10 a month rent and making their money under the table.
And that hurts the American taxpayers because they, for instance, in California now, Medi-Cal is providing health care, full health care for the illegals, including transgender surgery and the hormones that follow up on that, which is very expensive. And that's a situation where the California taxpayers are going to pay for that. But eventually, it's going to spill over on the rest of us.
Absolutely. And the extent of the problem, I think we should all understand. I think most of us do. What I'd like to do after the break is I'd like to address some things that could be done now to stop it, because right now it's 7,000 people per day, roughly, and the next year, while the Biden administration's in place, that'll add 3 million more people to the already 10 to 12 million. And the 10 to 12 million have already come in is more population than 40 of the 50 states that's been let in 3 years. That is totally scary. But like I said, after the break, I'd like to go over a couple things that we might do to try to address it right away.
Folks, we're going to take that opportunity to take a break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with the CCTA Wake Up Call.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you had some more that you wanted to
add. Yeah, I just had an opportunity the other evening to write down some things that I thought could be done immediately if, and this is the big if the Republicans in the House had the courage to take some action. First thing they could do, what needs to be done, they need to limit the number of asylum cases we'll take per year. so you don't have this overwhelm. You get to that point, you say, all right, we've taken in all we could take, and that stops. Okay, that'd be a limit, in my opinion.
And you're talking, too, about enforcing a border wall or putting up some kind of barrier.
Yeah, you'd have to
barrier.
Do that, but they'd have to stop giving them asylum passes is
yes.
what they're doing
okay.
now. Okay, they could do that right away. They also could address this anchor baby business. The idea that these people coming in, and not only if they're granted asylum, they can bring their families in, that's the first thing. This anchor baby thing has been a problem since they implemented it. And anybody born, so you come over, you have a baby here, and then not only can the baby stay as a citizen, the family stays, they bring in their people. This needs to be changed. The other thing they need to address is social services. These people, the Heritage Foundation indicated that 60% of illegals are getting some form of social services. And that, as long as we continue to fund them, it needs to be stopped.
In reference to that, I want to mention the often heard comment that America is a nation of immigrants and was built by immigrants. When our ancestors came over, regardless of when it was, there was not a social services system. If they didn't have a means of support, they went home.
Correct.
They built this country because they didn't want to starve, and they knew this country would give them the opportunity to create
right.
something.
Right.
And even the people that we treated badly when they came here, the Chinese who built the railroads, the Irish who were the indentured servants, and of course the slave population, even those that we treated badly eventually began to prosper because they worked hard. We're not encouraging our current group of immigrants, quote unquote, because they're not really immigrants, they're illegal aliens, to work hard.
Yeah, and just to reinforce what you said, Mary, my grandmother came over to this country from Germany when she was 11. And she could not get admitted unless she had somebody to sponsor her, which happened to be an uncle. And he had to verify that he was employed, had a place of residence, and so on and so forth. Then she was allowed in. Otherwise, like you said, she would have gone back. Of course, the health screening took place, mm-hmm. which is what they're not doing a health screening now. So we're letting in all these diseases and everything else. But another issue of what could be done, and again, whether the Republicans have the courage to force this, deportation. This problem will never be solved unless we begin deporting these people that have come in. And people say, well, how can you deport millions? Here's how you do it. In 1949, this was the last year of the Truman administration, they deported 750,000 people that were here illegally. That's the Truman administration. When Eisenhower took office, that increased. And they had, by 1954, they were deporting 1.1 million people per year were being deported primarily back to Mexico, because most of them were coming from, they were Mexicans coming over. It wasn't a global invasion at that time. And that continued until 1964. In 1964, when the Democrats took over, they stopped it. So there was a general policy of identifying illegals and deporting them. That was an ongoing process that kept it from accumulating. It didn't stop it from coming in, but they weren't able to accumulate, and they didn't bring their families in, all this other stuff. But the Democrats in 64, they eliminated that, and now we have this problem. So,
and our good friend Ted Kennedy added to the problem when he changed the percentages of people who would be allowed in. He changed our immigration numbers so that the highest number of immigrants were coming in from Northern Europe, and they were coming in from societies that were compatible right. with the American society. And he changed it to Southern Europe and Hispanic countries, where the cultural differences were significant, and the people had a harder time assimilating.
Yeah, and no country can exist when your values, standards, and principles are continually mitigated and reduced or altered by an influx of people from other cultures. It's just not going to work. You can absorb a certain amount, and hopefully after a generation or two, those people will think like Americans do.
We had a situation back a number of years ago when we were up in Massachusetts. Now, we were fortunate enough to have a Russian lady and her daughter staying with us for a while. But she had introduced us to the Russian community in the middle of Massachusetts. And the problem was there were wonderful folks that were had doctorates, had all sorts of advanced degrees or whatever else, but they never learned English. I don't know whether they didn't have the desire or whatever, but they never learned English. They took these menial jobs in assembly factories, even though they were talented folks, they didn't assimilate. And I think that's one of the big differences is if you're not going to assimilate, move on.
Yeah. And we want people who come to America to keep their heritage in the sense of it's wonderful when you go in particularly during the Christmas season, you go into a Polish house and they're making Polish cookies or Polish whatever. And you go into maybe somebody you know who's German and they're making German whatever. And I mean, it's nice to have the heritage, but we need to remember that even though we have different heritages and it's okay to hang on to them, that theoretically we're all supposed to be Americans.
Well, it's not nice to have no-go zones like they have in Europe.
Where
the Muslims have taken over and actually have purity police wandering around, checking the women, whether they're wearing their hijab and their burqas long enough.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have those in America.
I think the only way that we have any power to get anything done, and I'm talking about immediately, this is before the Biden administration leaves office. Hopefully they will next January, but it's going to take spending cuts by the Republicans. The House can cut their budget.
Yes.
They could go in, they could cut the budget. Here's where they should start. These green energy subsidies, stop them. Funding of the DOJ and the FBI, reduce their budget. I'm not saying stop it completely. Department of Education, they could go in and just start reducing budgets. Because they have the power to do that. Now, whether they have the courage to do it, that remains to be seen. Going down to the border and telling us, yeah, there's a problem. We know there's a problem. What I want to see is a plan of what they're going to do. And now, I don't know whether they have the courage to do it. That's what worries me.
There are rumors that they are going to stop funding the budget until something is done about the border, but let's see if they actually do that.
Well, I hope they do.
Republicans now have a razor-thin margin in the House.
Yeah, somebody else retired today.
Yes, of two.
Yeah, so it's going to be a challenge.
Where are we going from here?
Let's talk about Claudine Gay.
Oh, right. Okay.
Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, I was going to say Harvard University it's no longer called plagiarism. It's called, lack of attribution? Lack of attribution was the only thing that she did in the plagiarism that she did to earn her doctorate or whatever else.
Doctorate.
She's no longer president of that university.
Did you read her letter?
Well, oh, no. Her
was
letter.
Was it the Gettysburg Address?
No.
Her letter.
Here's the pertinent part of her letter. Amidst all of this, it has been distressing to have doubt cast on my commitments to confronting hate and to upholding scholarly rigor, two bedrock values that are fundamental to who I am, and frightening to be subjected to personal attacks and threats fueled by racial animus. So she played the race card. She didn't apologize for any of her plagiarism. She didn't take any blame for herself. It's all racial hate, and she should be considered some kind of idol for standing up to racial hate as president of Harvard, which is what we expected from her.
Well, you know, as we look at this DEI qualification, that you have to be you have to be. I'm going to just use, because it doesn't have a good definition, I'm going to just use DEI.
Right.
Apparently, the whole board of Harvard University is less than qualified. That therefore they chose someone who is less than qualified.
It's called Harvard Corporation.
It's Harvard Corporation.
Not a board of trustees. It's not, corporation.
It's a corporation with billions of dollars hiding behind it. But they're 100% inept.
They're also 100% property tax exempt, which is one of many reasons why the property taxes in Cambridge are through the roof. And it seems to me that one of the ways to kind of get at these schools and kind of take away some of their power would be to say, you know, let's talk about your tax-exempt status. Let's talk about the billions that you have and the money that you get from the government. And let's talk about what you're teaching. And let's talk about the hate that your students have exhibited. And where did they learn that?
You know, it's interesting that they want to stand strong for everything that Harvard stands for when there are a number of law firms, because of their position on the October 7th, there's a number of law firms. I will not hire
Harvard
grads.
Al Sharpton is going to lead a protest at the New York City office of Bill Ackman, a Jewish businessman and Harvard grad who has been a vocal critic of gay and called for ouster. As we know, Sharpton has a history of protesting Jews in New York, including a protest in 1991 during the Crown Heights riot that featured the burning of an Israeli flag and chants of death to the Jews. So Sharpton and the other race hustlers, I'm reading this from the article, blamed racism for the resignation of Gay.
Well, wait a minute. The woman who resigned from the University of Pennsylvania was white. Was that racism too?
No. They don't care about her.
Well, if Al Sharpton is against it, you know it's you got to be for it. I mean, that's all the confirmation you need. You're on the right side of an issue.
Showing,
if Al Sharpton's on the other side of that issue, but
showing my age, go back to the trial of Tawana Brawling.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, folks. You got to go look it up yourself.
He's a liar and he doesn't pay his taxes.
Yes, what unfortunately, that's true.
But getting back to what you were saying, Mary, I certainly agree. I mean, there's a lot of these colleges, private colleges, like most of the, I guess all the Ivy League colleges are private, I guess. I'm not sure. But anyway, that they are getting these special breaks from the government because of their contribution, theoretically, to what's good for the country. They're getting tax breaks. They don't pay property taxes. So, like Harvard has billions of dollars. Like I heard it was like $50 billion or something in there.
54.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of money they have and the other taxpayers they have to make up for the deficit.
Before we go to break, I just want to mention that Harvard University's tuition is $59,000.
On that, we're going to go to the break.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, you?
I want to talk about the fact that the Israeli military killed one of the leaders of Hamas. And the interesting part of that, they killed Salah Arouri, and he was killed in Lebanon with a drone attack. And I believe there were two other people killed with him that had ties to Hezbollah. And there are a lot of, there are kind of some interesting aspects of this. First of all, the attack on October 7th, the reason that they got away with such surprise was they didn't use the internet or any electronic communication to plan that attack. It was all done through couriers and face-to-face meetings. So this Hamas leader is in Lebanon meeting with Hezbollah leaders. Who knows what was being planned? But they killed him in an apartment building in one of the suburbs of Beirut. And there were six other Hamas members killed, two military commanders, a Lebanese security official. Oh, he was speaking. He said that the attack appeared to have been carried out by a drone that fired missiles into the building targeting one specific floor. The leaders of Hamas are not necessarily hanging out in Gaza. A lot of them are in Qatar. I don't think Israel's going to do anything there, although they might. But again, Hamas and Hezbollah are both supported by Iran. They're both terrorist organizations. And if Hamas can stir up Hezbollah on the northern border of Israel, they can really make a mess. So and, this and is something
like
to keep
say,
your
Mary,
eye
that's
on.
What they're hoping to do. I think that.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think Israel is perhaps hoping they could just limit it to the, dealing with Hamas, but you know, Hezbollah is just right there in Lebanon, and like you said, now with this attack. But the Israelis said right from the beginning they were going to take out the Hamas leadership. They said that they were dead men. They had a list of all those people, and they were going to get them.
Get them wearing a suit.
And they usually do what they say. I mean, if they,
yes,
they're going to get
their history.
I mean,
is
their
such.
History would indicate. Of course, they've done this in other circumstances.
Well, one of the things that has been talked about is that this whole idea, which is a very bad idea, of a two-state solution. If you look at that map renders Israel indefensible. But that, again, the goal of the Palestinians is from the river to the sea. They want a one-state solution. They want to get rid of Israel. And there never was a Palestinian state. They are another Arab tribe. And they need to fit in with their Arab brothers rather than start screaming for the one little piece of land in the Middle East that Israel has.
And you've mentioned it before that they are unwilling to come to a compromise at all.
No.
And by the way, based on the way that the Israelis are solving this problem, there's very, very little recidivism. So
yes. Yeah.
Very little what?
Recidivism.
Yeah, all right. You know, I wanted to make you say it again.
I think we all understand that Iran is behind these mm-hmm. terrorist groups. And we should all understand also that the Biden administration has been funding through their policy change with Iran. Iran's gotten over $1 billion additional dollars that they are now able to use for whatever mm-hmm. purpose they want, even though it said it's supposed to be used for domestic purposes and all that. That's so naive. It's just another lie by the Biden mm-hmm. administration.
They gave them $10 billion.
Yeah.
Well, they can frees up $10 billion of their other dollars that they can now use for weapons. Yes.
And they are close. Iran is close to getting nuclear weapons. They say that in order to produce a nuclear weapon, you have to have the uranium processed, purified, whatever, up to 90%. They're at like 60, 65%. So they're within months of being able to do this.
And they're also, what they need is a delivery system.
Right. But Israel cannot allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon.
That's true.
And when they get close, Israel's going to have to strike them. If they don't, then they're toast. They're done.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing to stop them then.
No, and they need, Iran will develop a nuclear weapon if they haven't already, but part of their problem is getting a reliable delivery system.
Well, you know, they're getting funding and they're getting support from North Korea and other places that have delivery systems.
Yes.
So I don't put a whole lot of faith in that it's going to take them very long to get it. And once they have it, they use the threat. What's also scary in the Middle East is how weak the Biden administration is to the attacks that are occurring on our forces and on those commercial ships.
What's going on with the Houthis?
The Houthi rubber. I mean, you can hardly keep up with this.
Who's
Hamas,
funding them?
Hezbollah, Houthi. I mean, they're all a bunch.
And Iran is funding the Houthi.
Absolutely. And what are we doing? When they attack our ships or commercial ships, what do? We restrict our response to only stopping the incoming missiles. Mm-hmm. We are not attacking where those missiles are being sent from.
Mm-hmm.
We are handicapping ourselves. There's been, I think, 140, 150 attacks, and we've responded, 10, 12 times? The other day, they sank 3 out of 4 little gunboats that were basically meaningless militarily. They're just minor things. But the Biden administration continues to signal weakness, that we will not even attack people who are attacking our troops. I mean, how weak can you get? And this is continuing. Then you have places like China looking at Taiwan, say, well, Taiwan's part of China. Why don't we take over? So the Biden administration is not going to resist it. That's what they're assuming, I guess.
In the Middle East is not a place to appear weak. It just isn't. And the head of China on his New Year's address said that Taiwan will be part of China by the end of the year.
Well, Biden's bought and paid for by China.
Yes, that is true.
That's one reason why they're fast-tracking Chinese migrants, so to speak, down the southern border.
Mm.
Where are we going now?
We're going to Pat with January 6th and with the military letter.
Okay, there's two defendants. I call them defendants because they were arrested and charged in the January 6th riot. It's not an insurrection, it was a riot. Anyway, they're suing the Capitol Police and also Mike Johnson, the new
Speaker
of the House, is suing him to force the Republicans to do an investigation of what happened on January 6th. They haven't done it at all. And she's suing them. Victoria White is the first one. She says that she was beaten by a Capitol Police officer who was hitting her over the head with his baton and then punched her in the face as hard as he could 5 times with his fist. And he was hitting her so hard that he had to lean over and get his breath to keep hitting her. Mm. And that as a result, she's had brain damage and other physical illnesses. She filed it herself. She doesn't have an attorney. The date runs out January 6th. So she had to file it before the statute of limitations runs out.
Roseanne Boyland was killed.
Yes.
In the tunnel by the Capitol Police.
Right. And it was a female officer beating her.
Ugh. You know, it's interesting. I guess there's also some new video of Ray Epps, that innocent victim of the quote insurrection, right, that wasn't an insurrection. Pat, again, jumping back to your legal thing with the 14th Amendment. Now, they keep saying, like taking Trump off the ballot because of the insurrection. He's never found guilty of anything.
He's never been charged.
Never been charged.
Or found guilty.
So we have laws in place that require you to be charged and found guilty or innocent in front of a jury of your peers or whatever else.
Well, the Colorado court tried him for a federal crime in a state court in an incorrect venue, 2,000 miles away from where it happened. There's no way that court's finding is relevant in an actual court.
Yeah, that court is only supposed to hear whether everything was done according to the law. Well, here they're making the judgment without going through the law.
As far as Victoria White, what happened to her, when that officer was done beating her, he pushed her over to another officer, presumed to be McAllister, who began beating her, and then she was passed to another officer who also beat her. Mm. She begged for mercy, and they responded by beating her again. They then handcuffed her with zip ties and then dragged her through the tunnel covered in her own blood while other officers smirked and jeered. They then handcuffed the almost unconscious White to a bench. Later, they tossed her onto the streets of Washington, D.C. to fend for herself. They never explained why she was beaten or held by police, and she was arrested and indicted about 4 months later.
We're going to take a break.
Okay, we're going to take a break right now, again, to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, it's quite interesting what we're talking about.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government. to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. I'm going to go back to Pat.
According to Victoria White, the men in the crowd were outraged by what they saw and naturally reacted. Why were police targeting small women on January 6th? And I believe she's the one that when they threw her in the street, her shoes were gone and she was wearing a white hazmat uniform. Her coat was gone, her shoes were gone, and she didn't know how she ended up that way. So she wants the officers to be held accountable. Well, lo and behold, another J6er has filed against the Capitol Police. Derek Vargo sues the police officer who pushed him off a 30-foot ledge trying to kill him. Speaker Mike Johnson is also named in this lawsuit for the same reason. He filed a lawsuit against Capitol Police Officer Bryant Williams that says he tried to murder him. You can see where Vargo, and they have the pictures in the video once again, you can see him holding on to the banister. He's hanging over a ledge, and he's holding on to the banister, asking for help to get on the other side of the banister, and this guy just pushes him off the ledge for a 30-foot drop.
We've heard of that cliche about pay no attention to your lying eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the realization of that, but the video is there.
Right. So Vargo says he wasn't, obviously since he was using both of his hands to grab onto the banister, he was no threat to the officer. There was no legal law enforcement reason to shove him off that ledge other than animus towards MAGA supporters. So what? He filed this himself. He has no lawyer. He's hoping that a lawyer will step forward and help him. So
what's the likelihood, in your opinion, Pat, that the suits that you just described will actually go anywhere? Because didn't Ashley Babbitt's family bring a suit against the Capitol Police? And she was killed, and there were videos showing her being shot through a pane of glass.
Right.
And what do you recall what the outcome of those?
I don't remember, Alan.
I was just curious as to how.
Hearing that they had filed a suit.
Yeah.
Other than Officer Byrd was given an award for what he did.
Yeah, and promoted. Yep.
And now, that what you described in those two instances is not normal police behavior. At least it shouldn't be.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure those things are not found in the procedures manual.
No. Shove them off a 30-foot ledge.
I mean, that is awful.
Well,
here's a picture of him shoving him off the ledge. That's him hanging onto the ledge. Of course, this is radio, so we can't show you the picture.
But there's no reason to do that. He was not a threat to anyone.
Well, how to get on the other side of the banister.
Truth and facts don't seem to matter these days in the courts and so on. Look what happened to that. Who was the name of that officer that killed the supposedly knelt on that black
You mean Derek Chauvin?
Derek Chauvin. What he got for that. And the coroner came out and said that the victim actually died of a drug overdose, did not die of asphyxiation from what Chauvin did. And Chauvin was actually following official
the procedures.
Yeah. That's what you're trained to do. and the fact that the victim had the fentanyl in the system and so on. But all those facts were ignored. So, you know, what's scary in this country, we have places where you can get a verdict regardless of the facts. And that's what appears in a lot of these cases to be.
You know, we often hear now that Trump is a threat to the democracy. However, we're not a democracy. We're a representative republic, and we're supposed to be following the Constitution and the laws that we have made, not following the whims of the majority, because the majority is mad at somebody.
And the thing is the people who are making those accusations that he's a threat to the democracy are themselves the threat to the democracy. What they're doing with all these unjustified indictments and everything else they're digging up, they're the ones that are threatening the democracy, not Donald Trump.
Where do we want to go next?
Would you like me to talk about the letter that the 231 military, current and former military members wrote?
Please do. That's a good subject.
They sent it as an email to the military leaders and said that their letter was addressed to the American people, not to these particular officers, because they wanted the people to know what was the basis for them writing this letter and why are they complaining about. It says, the letter is not addressed to the military leaders, but rather to the American people. The email was merely to inform them that there is a group of troops and vets pledging to the American public that we will do everything lawfully within our power to stop the willful destruction of our military by its own leadership. And one of the things that they complained about were the actions that the leadership took over the COVID vaccinations.
The emergency COVID vaccinations.
The emergency COVID. They refused religious exemptions. They forced people to take an experimental vaccine. If you look at the numbers that the DOD has released quietly, a lot of the young men now have pericarditis, myocarditis. You know, as an aside to that, the airlines have a shortage of airline pilots because so many of them have heart problems and are dropping dead in the cockpit. So this heart business is real. It's not imagined. It's not confined to the military. It's one of the recognized problems with the COVID.
It's coming out as a real symptom or as a real effect from the...
Right. The letter... accused military leaders of breaking laws, trampling constitutional rights, denying informed consent, permitting unlawful medical experimentation, and suppressing the free exercise of religion. And those are all meaningful and important claims.
Now, this is a letter. This is not a lawsuit. Am I correct?
No, it's an email to the American leaders. The letter will be released. The letter is addressed to the American people. And here's what we're going to do.
And the irony is that this letter signatories of the letter are both former military and current active military.
Right. And the signatories in their open letter to the American public emphasized the importance of moral and religious foundations as articulated by second U.S. President John Adams, stressing that the Constitution is designed for a society grounded in these values, which is something that conservatives can certainly get behind.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because not only was the military coerced into taking it, but there were a lot of other people coerced. I had a grandson who actually had COVID in January of 2021, had a very minor case like most younger people. And when he went to go back to school the following fall, they would not admit him unless he had the COVID vaccine. And normally you'd expect someone who's had it naturally would have immunity, but that was completely ignored. They were forcing, and that was the University UNC at Greensboro, and they were forcing all these students to get this vaccine, just like they were doing in the military. And extends, you know, not just the students, but people working in other facilities. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Yeah. You know, I hope they could prevail.
They also had to redefine what vaccine meant, because in all prior situations, the vaccine has prevented you from getting the illness. So now they've changed it. Yeah. And the fact that you can get the COVID again. Yeah. And again, we're going over territory that we've been over a number of times.
Well, that's all I have this evening, although I would like to mention that Chris Christie will not be on the ballot in Maine. Not just Trump, not Chris just Christie either.
Yeah, that breaks my heart to hear that, Pat. Yes. I'm going to go get up my handkerchief, shed a few tears about that one.
He didn't turn in enough signatures to get on the ballot.
And that is a valid reason to keep someone off the ballot.
It is.
And it's interesting that the court system is trying to run the elections now, and that's in a couple of states, and that's not right. That's not right.
And I have one other thing to mention, and that is U.S. Boxing has announced it will allow transgender women to compete against females in boxing.
In boxing. Okay.
That's not good.
Okay. So then we need to take out the weight requirements also in boxing to make it fairer.
Well, the only way they're going to stop this is for the women to refuse.
Refuse okay. to participate, that's right.
Okay. Now, folks, I just want to end on one quick thing. I have a friend, Michelle Morrow. She is running for the North Carolina Superintendent of Public Instruction. She's going to be working in the primary. I'm going to ask you to come out and meet Michelle. I'm going to ask you to meet her. This is Thursday, January 11th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. And this is going to be at the Angry Ginger Pavilion, 1202 Gum Branch Road, Jacksonville. And now there's going to be hors d'oeuvres and a cash bar. Again, Michelle is running. She is she's a fireball and trying to get the education department to belly up to what they're supposed to be doing. Again, Thursday, January 11th, 6:30 to 8, Angry Ginger Pavilion, 1202 Gum Branch Road. Thank you again. Thanks for sticking with the CCTA wake-up call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern,